increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Just want to look at one passage of Scripture, and that's going to be verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. In verse 5, the apostles say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. So the question is why? Why did they sense in their heart that they needed greater faith? Something had to ignite their desire. Something had to put a realization in their heart, put a sense in their heart that they needed greater faith. So the question is, what was it? Well, brothers and sisters, if you look at the two verses before it, Jesus said something that we need to see and that we need to understand. Look with me at verse 3 and 4, Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now in verse 4, we really need to notice, in fact, I would circle it in your Bibles, Jesus says twice, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, I would circle those words, a day. That's what I'm emphasizing here. Jesus is saying, if your brother deeply offends you 7 times in a day, not 7 times in a week, not 7 times in a month, not 7 times in a year. He says, if your brother offends you 7 times in a day, you need to forgive him 7 times. Now, brothers and sisters, this really must have struck something in the disciples' heart. They really caught the revelation of what Jesus was saying. And hearing what Jesus was saying, they begin to see, Jesus, this is a very hard thing that you're telling us to do. This is a very difficult thing that you're telling us to do. If I have a brother who deeply offends me 7 times in one day, you're telling me I need to forgive him 7 times. Jesus, what you're telling us to do is very hard and very difficult, and we need more faith. We need greater faith. There's a realization in their heart, what Jesus said, they need greater faith. Now, brothers and sisters, this is my point. There are times God is going to tell us to do things that in ourselves we realize, Lord, I really, in my own strength, don't have the strength to do this. Lord, in my own ability, what you're telling me to do, I don't have the ability to do it. And so, Lord, there's a sense in my heart that I need more faith, that I need greater faith. I remember when the Lord spoke to me and my wife about adopting a child. There was a night, I remember the night very clearly, I came face to face with the challenge that God was putting before me. I began to realize the responsibility and the challenge that was before me, and suddenly the doubt started coming in, and suddenly the fear started coming in. And I had to go before the Lord, and in my heart I was really asking the Lord for more faith. And what I'm saying is there are going to be times God is going to instruct us to do something, and it's going to be so beyond us, it's going to be so beyond our strength, it's going to be so beyond our ability that in our heart there's a sense that says, God, I need more faith. I need greater faith. But I want you to look at Jesus' reply. Look with me at verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So when you really look at what Jesus said, listen, this is a very astounding statement he just made. A very staggering statement he just made for 3 reasons. Number 1, because of the size of a mustard seed. Number 2, because of the strength of a sycamine tree. And number 3, because Jesus said all you have to do is speak to it. So it's really a staggering statement that he just made. Now let's just talk about the mustard seed. What I want us to understand about the mustard seed is that it is a very tiny seed, but it is powerful. packed with life. It's a very tiny seed, but it is filled with life. Brothers and sisters, listen. A tiny mustard seed grows a 15-foot tree. That's packed with life. That little seed is packed with life. Now, ultimately, this is what Jesus is saying. You really have to catch this. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you don't need more faith. What you need is a mustard seed size of true faith. What you need is a mustard seed size of genuine faith. What you need is a mustard seed size of what God esteems as real faith, true faith, genuine faith. That's what you need. That's what the Lord is saying here. Now, let me just go on to say that in my study, I found that a sycamine tree is the same as a mulberry tree. And it's typical for a mulberry tree to live to be 600 years old. It's very typical for a mulberry tree to live to be 600 years old. That shows you how strong, how deep those roots run and how much strength are in those roots. It shows you how much power is in those roots. Now, I just want to say here that some of our problems are like mulberry trees. They run deep, and they've been with us for a long time. A lot of problems that we have are like mulberry trees. They run deep, and they've been with us for a long time. And try as we may in our own strength, we are absolutely powerless to take care of these needs. We are absolutely powerless to resolve these needs. There are many people in the body of Christ that are captivated by strongholds in their lives. There's many people in the body of Christ that have areas in their heart that really need to be healed. There are many people in the body of Christ that really need things put in order in their life, and yet they are absolutely strengthless and without power to do it. But when you bring in a mustard seed faith that is true and genuine, we don't need a lot of faith to see these miracles take place in our lives. That's what Jesus is saying. These problems that are so deeply rooted in your life, strongholds that are you just can't seem to get victory over, things you really need to put in order, but you just don't have the strength in your life to put them in order, you don't need more faith. What you need is just a mustard seed size of true faith, of the genuine faith, what God esteems as faith, and you will see these absolute miracles take place in your life. That is what the Lord is saying. It's not greater faith you need, disciples. All you need is a mustard seed size of genuine faith. What God esteems as faith. And you can see these miracles take place in your life. Then Jesus goes on to tell his people the evidence in recognizing true faith, genuine faith. Brothers and sisters, genuine faith has an evidence. And Jesus begins to talk about the evidence. He's not going to another topic. He's not a random speaker talking about random things. We're still talking about this faith here. And he begins to describe the evidence of this faith. Look with me at verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." Brothers and sisters, this is the evidence of genuine faith. This is the evidence of a faith that truly has the power to uproot strongholds from your lives, has the power to bring restoration in places that needs to bring restoration. That mustard seed size of faith that can heal the heart and bring deliverance. This is the evidence of the faith Jesus is talking about. First of all, let me tell you what Jesus is saying here. He just said that if a servant asks to eat before his master. It's real simple, but see it. If a servant asks to eat before his master, that's out of order. That's out of order. Even if a servant comes in from the field and he's been working all day. If he was to come into the field and say, Master, serve me, that's out of order. And what Jesus is saying is this. The duty of a slave is to serve the master, not the other way around. In other words, the master's wishes come first. Now, brothers and sisters, when you really look at this, you really study this out, Jesus is talking about submission to spiritual authority. That is what he is saying. Jesus is talking about a spiritual authority. What he's saying is this. If you want mustard seed faith, then there must be complete submission to spiritual authority. If you are not submitted to spiritual authority, you don't have the genuine faith. I don't care how strong you think your faith is. I don't care how good you think your faith is. If in your heart there is not true submission to spiritual authority, you do not have the genuine faith, the real faith. That is what the Lord is saying here. Now, let me just give you an example. If you're a manager of a store and you have an employee come in that morning and say to you, Manager, you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this, that is out of order. It doesn't matter how kind, how sweet the employee is. If he's trying to tell the manager what to do, he is out of order. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I've been in many churches. I grew up in church. I've been in many churches where you have so many congregants trying to tell the pastor what he needs to do. Trying to tell and getting upset when he doesn't do it. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. When you have this faith Jesus is talking about, he is saying the very first evidence you need to understand is submission to authority. And it's just not submission to the pastor's authority. The worship department needs to be in submission to the Sunday school department's authority. And the Sunday school department needs to be in submission to the worship department's authority. Just because you are over the worship department doesn't mean you can tell the Sunday school department what they need to be doing. Jesus is saying the first evidence of this mustard seed size faith I'm talking about is in the heart, the submission and honor and respect for God's established authority. And of course, we can take it to the Lord himself. Beloved, there are many believers that are always trying to tell the Lord what he needs to be doing. When in all truth and all reality, they need to be closing their mouth and allowing the Lord to tell them what they need to be doing. There are very, very few people in the body of Christ. I really believe this with all my heart. They have truly laid down their agendas and their plans and have really went to that altar and seeking God's will for their life. And yet we come with our prayers telling the Lord, Lord, I need you to do this and Lord, I need you to do this. And Jesus says, no. No, the first evidence of this faith I'm talking about is there's a love and an honor and a respect in your heart for spiritual leadership. That's the order. Now, here's the bottom line. Submission to spiritual authority reveals that we have the right kind of faith and is the key to powerful faith. When our hearts are not completely submissive to God and submissive to God's established authority, then we ourselves have no spiritual authority. We have no spiritual power. Amen. Amen. I want you to put your marker in Luke 17. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Go with me at verse 5. I want to read through verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't have time to really explain everything in that verse that I see, but I want you to mark that word tormented. My servant is tormented. What that tells us here is that this problem is spiritual. It's a spiritual problem. It's not a medical problem. It's a spiritual problem. And brothers and sisters, those areas in our lives where we need deliverance, those areas in our lives where we need healing, those areas in our lives where we need restoration and God to put things in order, they are spiritual. Spiritual. Now look with me at verse 7 and 8. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now verse 9, he says, for I am a man under authority. Brothers and sisters, in this passage of Scripture, this is the submission to authority. This man understands the importance of being under authority. Now look at Jesus' response in verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And what I want us to see is this. Great faith is tied to being under spiritual authority. Great faith is tied to being under spiritual authority. I think Pastor Carter Collins said it best. God rewards submission to authority with great faith. God rewards submission to authority with great faith. Brothers and sisters, there's many people in the body of Christ. Hear me. I say this in love, but I'm going to speak by the authority of the Holy Spirit. There's many people in the body of Christ who's not receiving the deliverance they need, not receiving the restoration they need, not seeing God come and put their homes and families in order simply because of their attitude towards authority. Somewhere in their heart, they just don't honor God's established authority. Respect God's honored authority. And that's why they have no authority. Great faith is tied in with understanding God's realm of authority. Now let's look at another evidence. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Go with me back to Luke chapter 17. Let's start with verse 8. And would not the master say unto the servant, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So what Jesus just said is this. A master doesn't thank a servant for obeying him. A master doesn't thank a servant for doing what he was commanded to do. And the point Jesus is making is this. As the Lord's people, obedience is our reasonable service. That's what the Lord is saying. As the Lord's people, obedience is our reasonable service. Now, God is not obligated to thank us for our obedience. Now, I don't want to make the Lord sound harsh here. We know the Lord loves his people and he delights in rewarding our obedience and he delights in blessing us. Jesus is just making a point, and that point is this, that a servant doesn't expect a master to say thank you because it's the servant's reasonable service to serve the master. And brothers and sisters, after the cross and our salvation and everything that Jesus did, I think we can all say amen to that. Obedience is just our reasonable service. But there's something I want to look at. Look with me at verse 10. This is very important. We really need to see this. Look at verse 10. So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you. Brothers and sisters, you really need to mark that word all in your Bible. When the servant has done all those things which are commanded you. Now here's my point. Here's my point. Everybody hear me. Here's my point. If we leave things undone that we know in our hearts Christ has clearly instructed us to do, or if we are picking and choosing what we will obey, Or if the Lord plants us somewhere and we leave the place of his planting because we would rather be doing something else, this is partial obedience. The Lord clearly reveals that we are not in full submission to Christ when we do these things. The Lord clearly reveals that we are not in full submission to Christ, and that whatever faith we think we have, it is not the genuine faith. True faith follows through with its obedience. That's what Jesus is saying. True faith follows through with its obedience. Listen, if God plants us somewhere, and every time a desire gets in our heart to do something else, and we leave the place of his planting, we are in partial obedience. If we're picking and choosing what we're going to obey, partial obedience. And this is the clear evidence that the faith that we think we have isn't really the genuine faith, because the faith Jesus talks about, the mustard seed size of faith, that's all you need, he's saying it follows through with its obedience. That's the evidence. Now, let's put it in a nutshell. The disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus says, finish your obedience. Be faithful to finish what God has put before you to do, and then you will not need more faith because you will have the genuine faith that moves mountains. That's it in a nutshell. That's what Jesus is saying. You don't need more faith. You just need to finish the things that God put before you to do. And then you'll have the real faith that can move mountains and uproot mulberry trees. I want you to look with me. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to start with verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In Genesis chapter 22, the Lord tells Abraham to take his son Isaac to a mountain and offer him there as a sacrifice. And what I want us to understand, and what we really need to see for this message, is that it wasn't until Abraham had taken the knife to complete his obedience did God show up. Now catch that. It wasn't until Abraham had taken the knife to complete his obedience that God showed up. In other words, getting up early in the morning wasn't enough. Traveling 3 days wasn't enough. Telling the servant, stay at the bottom of the mountain, wasn't enough. Binding Isaac with cords and laying him on the altar wasn't enough. It was only when Abraham took the knife and was about to complete his obedience did the Lord show up. Now, brothers and sisters, when the Lord showed up, Abraham received a vision of God he never seen before. And that was the ram in the thicket. Now, we know what the ram in the thicket stands for. It stands for Christ and his finished work on the cross. Now, here's my point. The Lord is saying to us this morning, you need to see the power of the cross in your life, then complete your obedience. You can't stop at the bottom of the mountain. You can't stop halfway up the mountain. You can't even stop with binding the sacrifice with cords and laying it on the altar. You want to see the power of the cross? Complete your obedience. You need to see the power of the cross uproot some mulberry trees. You need to see the power of the cross bring healing and deliverance in your life and areas where you are absolutely powerless over. Then follow through in your obedience. This is what the Lord is saying. Amen. Very powerful truth. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharaphar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then would he say to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So, brothers and sisters, my point is simply, Naaman dipped the full 7 times, and then he was cleansed, and he was delivered, and he was restored. Now, when I looked at that story in the light of what God was speaking today, here's the question that really came to my heart. What has God instructed us to do? We may have gone part of the way, or half of the way, or most of the way, but somewhere we stopped and didn't finish. Somewhere we stopped and we didn't follow through with what God said. Listen, if he would have stopped it 3 times, there would have been no deliverance. 5 times, there would have been no deliverance. 6 times, there would have been no deliverance. He needed to complete his obedience to the Lord. Maybe we have dipped 3 times, or maybe we've dipped 5 times, but we haven't dipped the full 7 times. You know, what is it, things in our life, we know, didn't come out of our own mind and our own ideas. We know God has given us instructions, but we never follow through with our obedience. No, no, no. Jesus is saying this mustard seed side of faith that can move mountains and uproot mulberry trees, the evidence is a faith that follows through. An obedience that follows through. I want to look at one more. Go with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 5 and then go to verse 20. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat, down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Look with me at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The first 5 verses that we read, Joshua is standing before a very indestructible stronghold. This is a stronghold that man in his greatest strength and power has no ability to destroy. It is an invincible fortress. But yet the Lord comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, you don't have to worry about it. You can't take this down. You can't topple it down, but I'm going to topple it down. I have already given you the city, the walls, the mighty men behind those walls. I've already given you the victory. You don't have to worry about it. But then he gives Joshua some instructions. He says, Joshua, you need to march 6 days around the wall. 7th day, march around it 7 times and blow the trumpet. That's my instructions. So Joshua and the people begin the march. They started marching. Now, this is what I want us to understand. The wall didn't fall the first day. The wall didn't fall the 3rd day. The wall didn't fall the 5th day. When did it fall? When they completed their obedience to the Lord. Now here's the question that really come to my heart. What strongholds in our lives, what fortresses in our lives would we see topple to the ground if we just completed our obedience? What strongholds would we see topple to the ground if we just would follow through with the things that God has instructed us to do? Amen. Again, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, wholly follow through with the things God has instructed you to do, and you do not need more faith. The faith that you have can uproot mulberry trees and slay giants and heal lepers and topple down mighty fortresses if you just possess an obedience that follows through. Amen. You know what I've seen studying the New Covenant? You know what I have seen about that? So many people use the New Covenant as a means to lightly esteem and dismiss obedience. Really. So many things we don't follow through with when God speaks to our heart. And yet we really think it's not a big deal to the Lord. After all, I'm under the grace covenant. God says, no, 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 no. Luke 17 is New Covenant. Jesus says, you don't need great faith. You don't need greater faith. All you need is a mustard seed size of faith to see the strongholds, the healing, the deliverance, the restoration in your life, to see those deep-rooted things uprooted and broken. But the evidence of that kind of faith is an obedience that doesn't stop with dipping 3 times, 5 times, 6 times. It follows through and completes the obedience. Amen. Amen. Powerful. And the commandments of God are not grievous. His yoke is very light. He loves his people. But when he gives instructions, he says, follow through. He says, when I plant you somewhere, you don't remove yourself because there's something else that sparked in your heart and something else you would rather do. You need to stay there and you need to follow through. I can't finish everything I want to do in my life if you don't stay where I'm planted, where I planted you, and follow through with your obedience. But when you have that kind of heart, that kind of faith, that kind of obedience, you don't need a lot of faith. All you need is a mustard seed size. And you can see the most powerful strongholds ripped from your life. Stand with me this morning.